The book of Genesis, chapter 21, and we shall read again verse 10. Genesis 21, verse 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who are the people of God and those who are not. Those who are the true Christians and those who are not true Christians. Those who are the children of Abraham by faith and those who trust in their own works, the unbelievers. And this definition enters even into families. Here we see that Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And really they were opposites. Ishmael was the child of the flesh. Isaac was the child of promise. And we see here Ishmael mocking Isaac. In fact, Galatians 4 puts it even more strongly. The child of the flesh persecuted the child of promise. And so this passage challenges us and says to us, are we the children of the flesh or the children of promise? Are we the children of God by faith, or are we those who trust in our own good works? First of all, notice that God keeps His promise. God keeps His promise. Many years before this, God had called Abraham with an effectual call. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a place that I will show thee. And I will be a father unto thee, and thou shalt be my son. And I will bless thee, and multiply thee, and make thee into a great nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in thee. And Abraham gave heed to the call of God. He listened, he obeyed. He left Ur of the Chaldees behind. And he moved out from among his people and his friends and his associates and his old ways and his old companions and his idolatry. And he followed God as God led him to the land of promise. God had promised him, and time again God promised him that he would have a son. And he waited and he waited. And the days and the weeks and the years went by, and the decades passed. And still there was no sign of the promised child. And then at Sarah's suggestion, he took Sarah's maid. And through the maid, he had a child. Sarah said, she will have a child, and that child will be mine. But this only led to trouble, to dispute and to quarrel. Instead of trusting God and waiting for God's time and waiting for the promised child, an earthly way was used, a human means whereby to bring about the purposes of God. But we must remember that yes, we have our human responsibility, but our human responsibility is always qualified by the Word of God. We are to do what God tells us to do. And if we try to extend the kingdom of God in our own ways, with our own ideas and our own imaginings, we're only going to bring trouble and problems and difficulties to ourselves and to others. Trust God and wait for God's promise. Then in Genesis 18, Sarah is told that she will have a son in a year's time. And now, Genesis 21, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And when God says, he does it. When God speaks, it happens. When God promises, you can be sure he'll never break his promises. It happened at the time spoken. Verse 2, at the set time which God had spoken to him, the child was born. God visits Sarah, she conceives and she gives birth exactly as promised. How we should trust God. Trust his words. Trust his promises. And this birth was a miraculous birth. 90-year-old women don't normally bear children. It was a miracle. A great miracle. And it points forward to another miracle. A greater than Isaac. The Lord Jesus Christ. Born of a virgin. Virgins don't have children. But here was a case where a virgin did have a child. A miracle of God. Isaac was a forerunner. Isaac was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. God keeps his promises. And all these promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And these promises of God are ours. These blessed promises only in the special child, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellow Christian, so important to claim the promises of Scripture, and to realize that every promise in Scripture is yours because of Jesus Christ, the promised child. But also, it's important to remember this, that outside of Christ, there's no promise. Having Christ, you have every promise in the Bible and a right to every one of them. But if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no right to any promise in the Bible. What a difference God makes between those who have Christ and those who do not. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God hath not life. Having the child, the promised child, having the Lord Jesus Christ, you have every promise in the Bible. Claim them for yourself. But remember this, if you do not have Christ, you have nothing. No promise to those who reject or neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. So God keeps his promise. Secondly, we have here a child called Laughter. Do you know of anybody who has the name Laughter? I certainly don't. But that's what Isaac means. Laughter. And God gave that name to Isaac. And Abraham, we are told, called the child whom Sarah bore Isaac. Why is he called Laughter? Well, there are several different reasons why. First, because when Abraham was told that Sarah was going to have a child in a year's time, he laughed. He laughed with joy. He laughed believing the promise. Isaac. Laughter. Joy. The promised child. At last, had been waiting all these years, wondering how this child was going to be born. And now, the time has come. And he called his name Laughter. because Abraham laughed. But then we're told also, secondly, that Sarah laughed. And she laughed in unbelief, and she said, "Can't happen. It won't happen. I'm too old. It's impossible. I don't believe it." And she laughed in incredulity, in unbelief. And Isaac would always be a reminder to her of her unbelief and yet God's faithfulness. And what reminders we have too of our unbelief and of the fact that the Lord does not mark our iniquities against us. Sarah laughed in doubt. She laughed because she thought it impossible. She had to be rebuked and she had to be encouraged to believe. So laughter because of Sarah's laugh of unbelief. And then chapter 21 verse 6, Sarah said, "God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me." So Sarah's laughing again, but this time it's not in unbelief. This time she's laughing in faith. And she's laughing in joy and in happiness. And she's joining with Abraham. She calls her son. He calls his son. Laughter. How wonderful. After waiting all these years, after feeling such a failure, after feeling all these things were against me, after feeling God's curse, God's judgment upon me, longing and yearning to see a child born and seeing all kinds of other women having children and she not having a child, giving up hope, and yet at last God is faithful. God does this for me. God performs a miracle. God gives me a child in my old age. Who would have believed it? And here is the child. And she laughed for joy. Isaac, laughter. And fourthly, she says that she would laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. It wasn't just Sarah who laughed. Lots of other people started to laugh too. Her friends and her neighbors and the people in the household, they all laughed, and it was with joy. Isn't this wonderful? What God has done. It's so amazing. This 90-year-old woman, and she's had a child, and the child is healthy, and she is healthy, and they're both getting on so well. Isn't it wonderful what God does? What a wonderful God we have. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. So that all that see shall laugh with me. That's lovely, isn't it? And you and I are to laugh in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the birth of our Saviour. In the coming of the one born of the Virgin. How amazing that God became man. Who ever heard of this? Did it ever enter into the heart or the imagination of man that this would take place? That the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth would become one of us? We who are sinners, in order to save us from our sins. How wonderful. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Does the birth of Jesus make you laugh? As Christians, we have to beware. Beware of being depressed and downcast and sad all the time. That can't be right. We have reason to rejoice. Paul said it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 3, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice.
laugh together. We have a Savior. He died for our sins. He paid the price. There's a heaven before us. We live in a cursed world, but there's a blessed future. Christ has borne the curse for us, and blessing is ours. Rejoice and laugh and delight yourself in God and be happy in the Savior. A child called laughter, and Isaac should remind us of the laughter that we have every right to have because of our child. The New Testament Isaac, laughter, the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in Him. And thirdly, we have here a rejecter of the covenant child. A rejecter of the covenant child. We're told that Isaac grew and developed, and eventually he was weaned. Now, with us in our society, weaning maybe takes place at 6 months or whatever. But in these days, in that culture, weaning took place at a much later stage. 2 or usually 3 years old before the child was weaned. So by this stage, Isaac was a little boy. Toddler running around. And it was an important stage in Isaac's development. And you can imagine the great delight that Sarah and Abraham had in their child of their old age. How they doted on that child. How they loved that child. Was that child not to them a message from God and an encouragement to their faith and a joy in the Lord? And they were seeing Isaac growing and developing. And so when he was weaned, Abraham made a great feast to celebrate this development in Isaac. And then we're told that at the feast, Ishmael was watching. Ishmael was 14 when Isaac was born. By this stage he would be 16, 17. An older teenager, a young man. And seeing Isaac, he became jealous. Why all this fuss over Isaac? I'm Abraham's son too. I'm the firstborn son. And this silly little kid, how could he possibly bring blessing to all nations? There was jealousy, there was envy, there was hatred, there was mockery. And he mocked. He mocked Isaac. And actually, if you go back to the Hebrew original, the word mocking here is in the continuous tense. It wasn't a one-off mocking, but it was a continued mocking. He carried on mocking and laughing at. And as we saw, Galatians 4 says, he persecuted the child of promise. So that takes us right back to Adam's children, Cain and Abel. Abel worshipping God and accepted. Cain rejected. And Cain hating Abel and murdering his brother. the earthly hates the spiritual. We see the same thing in Saul and David. King Saul hated David, the Lord's anointed. We see the same thing when we come into the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Jews, the Pharisees, hate him and crucify him and mock him. And mock him as he hangs dying on the tree in agony. You who said you would pull down the temple and build it again in 3 days, come down from the cross. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Who do you think you are, Jesus? Prove now that you're the Son of God. Let's see who you are. Come down from the cross and then we'll believe in you. And the children of the flesh persecuted the child of promise. Ishmael rejecting the covenant child. Persecuting. Why is there persecution of Christians throughout the world? Is it that Christians are committing crimes on people? Is it that they're hurting people? No. All Christians do is make known the gospel. And yet, they are hated for it. Why? Because of that envy that is in the human heart. Who do they think they are? And they think they're so good. And they think they have a special relationship to God. And they are proud of their relationship with God. And they think they're better than we are. And so, there's this envy, this jealousy, this spitefulness. My religion is just as good as yours. In fact, my religions are far better than yours. And so other religions persecute Christians. A rejecter of the covenant child. Ishmael rejects Isaac. Fourthly, we have here the casting out of the covenant rejecter. The casting out of the covenant rejecter. Sarah sees Ishmael mocking little Isaac. And you can imagine her natural reaction as a mother, seeing her little child being ridiculed like this. But it wasn't just a mother's reaction. There was more than that. There was faith also, and there was spiritual discernment in Sarah's recognition of what was taking place. Sarah had spiritual insight, and we know that because her very words are quoted in the New Testament, in Galatians 4. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir along with the son of the free. God himself in this passage takes the side of Sarah. When Sarah said this to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and the son and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham loved Ishmael. He was his son. He had a father-son relationship with him. And the thought of casting out the son was very hard for Abraham. And Abraham here is not as perceptive as Sarah is. He's failing to see the great distinction that there is between the child of promise and the child of the flesh. It's rather interesting that in Isaac's own life, when Isaac himself came to maturity, indeed to old age, how he favoured Esau as over against Jacob. And how he asked Esau to go out and to get some venison for him so that he would bless Esau. And how Rebekah favoured, again with special insight, favoured Jacob and sought to get the blessing for Jacob. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, even before the children were born. That's what God said. Jacob was the chosen one to be blessed by God. But here we see Abraham then lacking in spiritual insight. But God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken to her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. So don't worry, Abraham, I will make a great nation out of Ishmael. But Isaac is a special one. Isaac is the one through whom the Messiah will come. He is the child of promise. He is the miracle child through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Cast out the covenant rejecter, Ishmael, mocking, persecuting Isaac. Are we covenant rejectors or covenant receivers? Do we love the covenant child, the Lord Jesus Christ, the surety of the covenant, or do we reject Christ? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Then, fifthly, God's merciful deliverance. Abraham obeyed God. Early the next morning, he took bread, a bottle or skin of water, placed it on the shoulder of Hagar, and sent her and her son away. No doubt he had also given them money, all that they required. And they went off. And they went south. Perhaps Hagar was thinking of returning to the land of Egypt. But before long they had lost their way. And they were wandering in the Sinai desert. And then the water was used up. And they were thirsty. And they were dying. And Hagar couldn't bear to see her son die. And she cast him down under a shrub, under a bush. Can imagine that parched and weak, he was hanging on her and she pushes him down there under a bush. And she goes away, a bow shot. She couldn't bear to see him die. And she cried and lifted up her voice. And then we're told something interesting. Verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. The lad, the covenant rejecting lad. And God heard his voice. What an encouragement that is. This lad who had been mocking the child of promise was rejecting God's covenant. And yet he is heard. What a merciful God we have. We sin. We deserve his wrath and his curse. We deserve to be left to die of thirst in the wilderness. But when we cry to God, He hears and he answers. And God said, I have heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water and went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. God heard his voice. What amazing grace. How ready we should be to come to him. How we should encourage others, no matter what their sins are, to come to Christ, to call upon him. And the Lord opened her eyes. The well of water had always been there. But she couldn't see it till the Lord opened her eyes. And it's the same with salvation, isn't it? It's there. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. There for needy people. But if only your eyes were opened. Oh, that the Lord would open your eyes to see the well of water, the well of salvation, the fountain of life, and that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ to drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Think of those who end up cast out forever in hell, longing for a drop of water to cool their tongues in the eternal flame of God's wrath. And yet today, come. There is a well. There is water. There is salvation. Open your eyes and look. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And God was with the lad and he grew and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. God was with him and God blessed him. God's mercy for deliverance of the lad. And then finally, Abraham's great status. Abraham was a friend of God. And as the friend of God, God blessed him. And we see here Abimelech, the Philistine, recognizing that Abraham was special. Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Make a covenant with us. We can see that you're special. And child of God, you're special. And people can see. Sometimes people can see that you're special. Maybe they won't admit it. And sometimes they can say very hard things against you. And yet deep down in their hearts, they know you're special. You're special because you belong to the royal family. The family of God. The children of God. God has blessed you. God is with you. You are special. So here's Abimelech and Phicol wanting to make a covenant and enter into a peace treaty with Abraham. There had been a strife over a well of water. Abimelech says, Abraham reproved Abimelech, criticized Abimelech because of his well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. Abraham took sheep and oxen, gave them to Abimelech. Then he set apart 7 ewe lambs. And Abimelech said, what do these 7 ewe lambs mean? Well, he said, I want you to take these 7 ewe lambs And they are going to be a witness that I dig the well. And so in entering into this covenant, there are these seven ewe lambs, a witness concerning the well. And Abraham called the name of the place Beersheba. That is the well of the covenant, the well of the oath, or the well of the seven. And actually, the word seven and the word oath in Hebrew is the same. The well of the oath or the well of the seven ewe lambs bearing testimony to the covenant and the oath that was entered into. And so, Phicol and Abimelech coming to Abraham, speaking of another day when the nations will come to Christ, and all the different peoples gathering together to him. Ishmael himself cast out, but there's a longing and a looking forward to the day when the children of Ishmael will be brought in too. And already children of Ishmael are amongst the children of Abraham by faith, gathered in, some amongst the Ishmaelites, amongst the Arabs, are already believers in Christ. And we are to look forward to the day when many more will be gathered in. And Abraham planted a grove, a tamarisk tree. A tamarisk tree, strong, long-lasting tree. And that would be as a memorial of God and of God's gracious dealings with him. He called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Abraham, an old man over 100 years of age, he plants this tree, a tree that will be a reminder to him of God, the everlasting God, the unchanging God, the God who was with me in my youth, the God who led me from Ur of the Chaldees to the Promised Land, the God who gave me the child of promise, the God who will be with me till my dying day, and the God who will be with my family forever, the everlasting God. Is our God the everlasting God, the God who is and who was and who is to come.